today on Living on Every Word.
Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. It is a war. And folks, we must stand firm, girding our loins with the truth of God's Word, because it'll bring the victory of God.
Whether we recognize it or not, we are in a war. Yet Scripture says that this battle is not against flesh and blood, but is a spiritual battle for our very souls. In part one of this study of the armor of God found in Ephesians 6, Pastor Mike Fritcher examines this armor and how we are to use it to secure victory in our lives in this study called The Weapons of Our Warfare.
Living on every word.
We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 3 and 6, 3 through 6 here in just a moment. I had a great week in Mexico. It was just a great experience. We got there on Monday, and we're eating lunch with Rob in a place called Creel. And Rob said, I'd like for you to have the opportunity to go and walk with Jonathan over the next 2 days. He's leaving on Wednesday and coming back out on Thursday. And Jonathan is a Mennonite missionary. He's been there 5 years. He goes into these villages on a Monday and walks till Thursday, comes out on Thursday or Friday, and takes a little rest for the weekend and then goes back. He's been doing this for 5 years. 5 years walking these mountains, walking these rough places, dark places. I walked the first day for 8 hours to about 5 different villages. And I'm just going to tell you, gang, it is dark. It is dark in these places. This culture called the Tarahumara is a culture based on the lies of the enemy. And the witch doctor is the one that throws these lies out. And there are live, real live witch doctors in the next state over, Chihuahua. It just happens to be the state of Mexico. And one of the things that I learned about a witch doctor is that, number one, he'll curse you. He'll curse you. Now, I'm not talking about giving you a dirty gesture or speaking a curse word. I'm talking about a real, live curse. And Jonathan was a recipient of a real life curse from a witch doctor. And he just kind of, from what I understand, just sloughed it off and went on, you know, and spent the night that night and began to hear a hoot owl. Now, that's significant because I don't think he ever heard a hoot owl. But he started hearing a hoot owl, and the Tarahumara will tell you that if you hear a hoot owl, you're going to die. That's just part of their word. That's just part of their culture. That's part of their belief system. Okay, that's their word that they receive from the enemy. Hear a hoot owl, you're going to die. Well, he wakes up in the morning with an appendicitis attack, and they have to carry him out. He almost dies. Now, not while I was there, but he almost dies. And I think coming out of the last village, I'm thinking, we're in for a war. We're in for a war. And we're in for a hard one. We're going to reach this culture because we're going to have to come a point that we're going to confront evil. We're going to stand face to face with evil, and we're going to confront that. Amen. And the question is will we be equipped for that? Will we be equipped to walk by the Spirit, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, so that we know that this is not just a vacation away from home? It's war. Now listen, I got to go in, see it, and go out, and I'm home. I'm home, you know, 16, 17 hours later, 20 hours later. Back in the comfort. Stiff and worn out, but I'm back. And yet he goes in day after day, week after week, to confront this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, we're in a war. Came out of that last village and walking in and saying, you know what? Not only is this a war, but I go home to a war. Because I got to tell you this, this war against the saints, it's not limited to the dark regions of the Copper Canyon. It's not limited to the witch doctors and shamans of pagan lands. It's not limited to the superstitions of a primitive people with a skewed worldview. Every one of us in this life, if we come to Christ, I want to tell you, you're a target. I mean, let me ask you a question. How many men do we know who've been cursed by a father, a teacher, a coach, a bully, with the closest witch doctor being 20 hours away? And yet we've got grown men who've grown under the words of a father that have been negative, that have been like curses, that has defined you or defined me. How many men and women do we know like that? How many folks do we know whose lives have been ruined by alcohol and drugs? See, we can go down to Tonemar and say all we want to say about their corn beer. But what about the junk we consume into our lives? And the things we let influence us? You don't have to go to the darkest regions to find the enemy. He's here. And the question I want to ask is will we stand up to that? How many people do we know who run hard after the gods of our own culture? How many people do we know whose lives have been racked by immorality and pain and divorce? How many families do we know whose children follow hard after the culture, after the music, their images, their own self-image, who run after friends who are so afraid that they're just not going to be liked and loved? We're in a war, folks. Now, you don't have to look far to find it and see it. You don't have to look far to see destroyed lives. You don't have to look far to see wrong choices. The difference is that we come home and we live comfortable. And somehow in our comfort and in our richness and in our wealth, that becomes the distraction, desensitizing us to the war at hand. Any one of you who have submitted and have succumbed to immorality, any of you and me who have succumbed to bitterness and anger, you know that that's a war that you don't want to lose anymore. We are in a battle. And the Scripture says that we have a warfare that has already been won. The question is, will we walk in agreement with it? Matthew 11:12 on the screen says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. We're not talking about powder puff religion here. Amen. We're talking about standing firm against the schemes of the enemy. He wants to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. Most of us have already been the recipients of that. And we're saying, we don't want any more of that. Want to know what it means to walk in the victorious life that Christ has for us. It suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. What do you think the cross was? It was a violent mess. And we say that Jesus was the recipient, but I want to tell you, Jesus submitted Himself to that. And violently won for you. Violently endured the cross, the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father so He might rule and reign, not only from heaven, but from your heart. Amen. To rule and reign from our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What is a fortress? A fortress can be a worldview. It can be a worldview. Taught of our worldview, God is finite. The way we've got to keep Him alive by feeding Him our sacrifice and feeding Him our beer. And we keep God alive. That's a worldview. That's of the enemy. But listen to me. The worldview that we have in America is not a Christian worldview. You know what? Our country indeed founded on Christian principles, but no more. Amen. When you have a worldview that says that man is basically good, you've got a worldview from the enemy. Because you know what? Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. worldview that says man is basically good. And the day that America adopts the thought that man is evil and his intentions are evil and that his best day of righteousness as his filthy rags is the day that we see a revival in America. You don't have to go to the Tarahumara to find an evil, skewed worldview. It's right here. And that's what the war is all about. These are fortresses. We come to this point that we believe that we don't trust our culture. We don't trust our money. We don't trust our stuff. We don't even trust our giftedness or our personalities or even our work ethic to deliver us from the evil one. So apart from Christ, you'll never be delivered. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not carnal. On the screen, Psalm 33:16 says, "The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory. Nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness. So He'll deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine." Our weapons are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. You don't find weapons of the Christian life in a self-help book somewhere, in a library or a bookstore. That's not where our weapons are. Matter of fact, go to most self-help books and you research the author and you know what they are. Usually, they believe in reincarnation. Watch what you read. Watch what you watch on Oprah or Uncle Bill or Dr. Phil, okay? Sorry. Watch. It's a skewed world view. And our weapons are mighty to tear these things down. Notice what he says. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the battle is. It's in your mind. It's what you believe. It's what you believe about God. It's what you believe about yourself. And it's believe about what God can do and what God has promised to do in your life. And it's all based upon the truth that's found in God's Word. The weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful. And I want to ask the question today, just as we move into this, is what is your thought process like? What do you think about yourself? What do you think about God? What do you think about the world? What do you think about victory, defeat? Is there a confidence in the Word of God today in your mind, in your heart? Because if there's a confidence, I tell you, the battle is being won in your heart and your life. It's in the mind. And that our mind must be conformed to what the Word of God says. If you'll go to Ephesians chapter 6, Paul speaks of these mighty weapons. And in verse 10 of chapter 6, he begins to talk about the armor of God. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God. Take on all the weapons that God has for you so that you're able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." What are the schemes of the devil? I mean, they've not changed from the garden. Scheme of the devil is just it's simple. If he can cause you to walk in unbelief in the power of God and the power of God's Word, he's got you. That's just the bottom line. Everything else will flow out of belief. Everything else will flow out of this obedience that's found in faith. And I'm just going to tell you that that's what I believe the strategy of the enemy is to get you to walk in doubt and unbelief in the powerful Word of God. That's just the bottom line. It's that simple. It is that simple. The scheme of the devil has always remained the same. We're going to look at a little bit more of that next week when we look at Adam and Eve and how they fell. But I want you to notice what he says. There's schemes, and there's the schemes of the devil. And he says, you're to stand firm against them. Then he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's not between you and your husband, you and your wife. And I can't tell you how many times a couple comes on the verge of divorce and says, listen, the struggle is you're looking at it with physical eyes. It's a spiritual struggle. It's the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's Jesus who comes to give life. And I find that when we look at this whole thought of who the enemy is, when we look at world forces or rulers and powers and against the world forces of this darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Not going to get into that today. We're going to do that another time here in the next couple weeks. But just let me tell you this. Your struggle is the enemy. It is his demons. And it is the flesh. For most of us, it's the flesh. Some of us are so eat up in the flesh, you don't need a demon, right? Don't need a demon. It's interesting that when you look at our worldviews in West, we say that evil is immorality, violence, and sin. But go to Mexico, to the Tarahumara, or go to Africa, or to some other society, you know what they say? It's witchcraft and demons. They know it's real. And I just got to tell you, the demons just aren't over there. And you see enough of Christ's work and Paul's work to know that when he addressed the enemy, he addressed the demonic. Addressed the demonic. I think about this in terms of like this. Satan is not an omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient being. He can't be everywhere at one time. Is that right? Do we believe that? Or he's God. Is that right? See, we have a foe that is finite, not infinite. We have a foe that cannot be everywhere at one time. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent, all-powerful. He can't be everywhere at once, and he doesn't know all things. Well, how do you think he does his work? And there is a sense, when you look at this passage of Scripture, that speaks of the demonic realm. And I'm just going to tell you, let's not underestimate the power of the enemy. He's powerful. And that's not to fear that, because the Bible says you don't fear the person who can kill the body. You fear the one that can take the soul and send it to hell. And that ain't the enemy. That's God Almighty. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is something spiritual that we need to be aware of. And so he says, therefore, since this is our struggle, we take up the full armor of God. And that full armor of God is not according to the flesh. Although we walk in the flesh, although we have skin and we have bones and we breathe and we walk this way, we don't war that way. But what we do is we take up the full armor of God so that we may be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. And so he says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. The loins of truth. And what that simply means to a soldier of that day, I mean, they wore that little skirt, I don't know what you call it. But when they got ready for war, they girded it up so that they can move. So that they can move freely. So they didn't get caught up in their dress, okay? All right? And that's just what that means. They girded their loins up to get ready for battle, to walk into the battle. And the Bible says that these loins are truth. It's the very foundation of how we live our lives. It's the very foundation of what we believe. The truth is everything we believe about God. The truth is who God is in our lives. He says, listen, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Therefore, we have this armor that we put on, and that first armor is truth. Now, this truth comes against the enemy. It really does. You know, when I came off the mountain that day, I realized something. I thought, these folks are destroyed because of the deception that they walk in. They're deceived. Their truth is the lie. Their word is a false word. The word of their witch doctors and their myth and their worldview are the words of the enemy. And they're a deceived people. And the Scripture says of the enemy that he is the deceiver. Revelation 12:9 on the screen says that the great dragon will be thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And how do you think he deceives the world? With his own word, with his own philosophy. And the times that we walk in sin and walk in rebellion is because we obey that truth instead of the truth of God's word. What are the loins of truth? It's easy. It's two things. The Scripture says that first of all, the truth is the word of God.
Ephesians 6:14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. The truth is the Word of God. Jesus said it in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, thy Word is truth. The way you are sanctified, the way that you're made like Christ, is through the Word of God. That's why we live it. That's why we breathe it. That's why we have it, not just on our coffee table to collect dust. We open it up and we get focused on the Word of God and what the Word of God has for us. That's why Jesus said when He was being tempted, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we live on this truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that it's God-breathed, that it teaches you, it reproves you, it corrects you, and it trains you in righteousness, and it'll make you adequate for every good work. It will equip you for every good work. The Bible also says of itself in 1 Peter chapter 1, 21 through 23, that we're born again by the Word of God. According to Ephesians 5:26, that we're sanctified by the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2, we're instructed by the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says that we have faith because of the Word of God. That we're made wise, according to Psalm 19:7 through 11. That the Word makes us rejoice. That we get warned how to live and what to avoid by the Word of God. And that we are rewarded by keeping it. And then that we are always led by the Word of God. That's why we open it. The truth, to gird your loins with truth, is to have the Word all over you. But the truth is also Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the truth. And you have an opportunity, every one of us have an opportunity today to walk in agreement with the truth of God's Word or the truth of the enemy. Whatever worldview is opposite of this Word. And we see people doing it every single day. And as a result, their lives get destroyed. Their hearts get destroyed. We gird our loins with the truth, folks, by doing a couple of things. And we're going to look a little bit more at this next week. So I'm just going to give you just, this is going to be next week's message, but I'm going to give you five things real quickly. You believe the truth. We read and study the truth. We know the truth. We speak the truth to one another. And you know what? We encounter the enemy with the truth. It's like having your loins girded, but then also you wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What does that look like? You know, I walked into a house, and there was a woman in her early 40s who was bedridden. And she was on her bed. And, by the way, a bed in a Tata Modern house is a sawhorse with a plywood on it, with the blankets on the plywood. That's their no mattresses in Tatamana land, okay? And she's been there 4 years. 4 years ago, she was caught up in a whirlwind, a dust devil. Okay. Now Tatamaran, the word from the Tatamara is that you get caught up in a dust devil or a whirlwind, you lose your strength for the rest of your life. You're zapped by it. Well, they believe the word of the enemy. If I get caught up in a whirlwind, I'm going to lose my strength. I got caught up in the whirlwind, and I lose my strength. See, her word is with the witch doctor and what the myth says, and her faith is in that word. And it's being done according to her faith. So she's laid out for 4 years. And, you know, she can get up and she can walk a little bit, but she's totally zapped of strength, folks. She's been taken down to the hospital, carried down to the hospital, and they've examined her, and there's just no physical reason why she should have no strength. But she has no strength. And she has fears. They fear spirits, and they fear demons, and they just fear. And so I asked Jonathan, I said, could I talk with her for a minute? So So I started telling my testimony about how I walked in fear. And so I began to share my testimony. And this woman has confessed Christ and has gotten a little bit better in her fears. But lately, a strong wind came up on another house that she was staying at, and she's moved to this other one because she's scared to death. And so as I began to talk to her about who Christ was and that Christ came to deliver her,
I just asked her, I said, do you want to be free today? Do you want to experience the freedom of Christ? And she said, yes. And so I said, could I pray for you? And so I start praying. And I've talked about the Spirit of God having freedom. I laid my hand on her arm. I started talking about the Spirit of God. And that she had the Spirit of God, she has freedom. Right? And that Jesus wants her to be like Him. And so I asked, God, would you rebuke the whirlwind? Would you rebuke what the enemy did at the world? Would you take the whirlwind away? And when Jonathan spoke that, she shook with a violent shake. She shook with a violent shake. You know, I do pastoral ministry and do deliverance. I don't see much manifestation, but I saw a manifestation that day. And I don't believe that there has to be manifestation like that to be free. But she jerked. You know, I believe to reach this culture that we're going to have to gird our loins with truth and move against the word of the witch doctor and confront it. I say, how do we do that? How do we stand firm with the loins of truth and wield the sword of the Spirit? In April of 1999, I got on an airplane with Mike Stroup. And we had just gotten to know Mike. And Mike asked me a question. The question was, what is your life verse? What is your life verse? I quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Spirit. And I thought this week, as I prayed for that woman, that this verse defines me as your pastor. It just does. For almost 20 years, this verse has defined me. Because why? Because I believe that if the Spirit of God's in your life, there's freedom. And I believe that Jesus Christ comes into your life to give you this freedom and to conform you this image from glory to glory. Unpack this verse of Scripture and you've got the gospel. You've got repentance. Unpack this verse. You've got the promise of God. You've got redemption. You've got sanctification. You've got Christ-likeness. Unpack this verse. You've got the Word. And I just tell you, every day I get up and I think about this verse. It defines who I am. Finds who I am. It's the one that I do warfare with. It's the one that just is the backdrop of my life. And you know, it's like when I use other verses of Scripture, but that's like the dagger in my boot that just puts it in the gut. And I want to ask you, what's your dagger? People of the Word means that, listen, it's not just some powder puff walk. It is a war. It's a war for your kids. It's a war for your kids' soul. You got to start asking some questions about your own life, like, do I want my children to have the same kind of life that I've given them? Do I want to grow up and have the same kind of junk that I walked in? That's a war. It is a war. And folks, we must confront this in such a way that we stand firm, girding our loins with the truth of Jesus and the truth of God's Word. Because it'll wash. It'll sanctify. It'll bring the victory of God.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.